You know, there are a number of different emphases that we have in the songs that we sing. This morning, I want you to think about one that's not only something that is prominent in our songs, but is prominent in Scripture. We sing songs that say, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the," you know the next word? "The blood of the Lamb." We sing songs that are focused on the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. How many songs can you think of that help us to focus in and to center on that critically important topic of the blood of Jesus? We just sang that song about, would you be free from your passion and pride? Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. And then in the chorus of that song, we sang that there's not just power in the blood, there is a wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. And it's not just in our songs, but throughout Scripture, the theme of blood is prominent. It's prominent because it is paralleled with our lives. There's verses like Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, that tell us that life is in the blood. The very concepts of life and blood are paralleled. And so when God talked to Adam and Eve about the consequences of sin, do you remember what God told Adam the consequence of his sin would be? That if he took of the fruit of that tree, he told him, the day you eat of it, you shall surely, what? You shall surely die. We look at blood and we see life. But God said, here's the consequences of sin. The consequences of sin is if you choose to disobey the will and the law of God, you forfeit your life. The wages of sin is death. And so the solution, the promise, that which God gave to be able to overcome and to take care of the sin that man brought into the world, had to do with blood. And it had to do with the offering of that blood, the offering of the life of an animal. But you know, as you read through the Old Testament, that the blood of bulls and goats, it could not actually take away the sin. All it could do was cover over that sin. And it was not until the precious blood of Jesus was shed on that cross. It was not until God Himself took on flesh, came down to this earth and lived in a human body, and allowed His body to be nailed to that cross and to allow His blood to be shed on our behalf, that when His life was given and His blood was shed, then and only then could sins be taken away. This morning I want us to think about the wonder-working power of His blood. And we're just going to look at this from two vantage points. The first point is we're going to look at the wonder power of His blood. And the second point, we're going to look at the working power of His blood. What does the blood of Jesus do? What is it that makes it so wonderful? The song we just sang, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. There's the wonderful power. What's so wonderful about it? What does the power of Jesus do? I want you to get your Bibles out this morning, and we're going to survey some verses in our New Testaments to try to help us to see just how wonderful the blood of Jesus is. Go in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, you're going to have to turn quickly this morning. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, we have a passage that tells us the great blessings and glories and promises that belong unto us who are children of God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, what promise is made to those who are children of God? As you get to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, we need to recognize the seriousness of sin. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 34, he who commits sin is a slave of sin. When someone sins, Jesus says that they become enslaved to sin. Well, what does his blood do? You're there in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In him we have what? Redemption. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What is redemption? In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, Peter reminds us that we have not been redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold. That individual who was a slave, literally, that individual who was enslaved could be bought out of that slavery. A purchase could be made, a payment could be made, a ransom could be paid that would buy that person out, would redeem that person out of slavery. The wonder of Jesus' blood is that while we were enslaved to sin, his blood, not corruptible things like silver or gold, but 1 Peter 1 verse 19, his precious blood redeemed us, gave us redemption. What else does the blood of Jesus do? Here we are as individuals. Before we come in contact with the blood of Jesus, here we are as individuals who are unclean in the eyes of God. Sometime read Psalm 51 and think about how dirty David pictured himself after his sin with Bathsheba. Go and read Psalm 51 with the imagery of how unclean in the eyes of God sin had made David. But then you turn in your Bibles over to go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. We won't take time to look at some of these other passages. But look in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, where as John is describing Jesus for us, as he's laying out the one that he is about to give the revelation of, it's not the revelation of John, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ in this book. As you come to that last sentence of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What is the wonder of Jesus' blood? It not only provides redemption, it provides purification. Here we are, unclean, impure, dirty in the eyes of God as far as our sin is concerned, and Jesus' blood redeems us, provides redemption. Jesus' blood purifies us. Shay, thank you in the prayer this morning for asking God right at the beginning of our worship, right at the beginning of the prayer, to forgive us and to make us, did you hear what Shay prayed? To make us pure in the eyes of God. That's only possible because of the blood of Jesus. But what else does sin do? The Bible tells us that when sin is a part of our lives, it is as if we are in debt. You ever been in debt? Anybody know what that feels like? Anybody know what it feels like to be in debt? In Psalm 42, I believe it is, David wrote about debt. But not the kind of debt that you get in the mail. Not the kind of debt that you think of every time you write a check or go online to make a payment. But in Psalm 42, it can't be 42, it's got to be Psalm 40. In Psalm 40, David described his sins, and he said, my iniquities have overtaken me. You ever thought that about your debt? You ever thought about that when your bills come in, that your debt has overtaken you. And David went on to say in Psalm 40, and verse 12, my iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. You know, sometimes our financial debt can be like that, can overtake us to the point that we can hardly look up. We can hardly know where to look. David says, not about his financial debt, but about his spiritual sinful debt. He says, my sins, my iniquities have overtaken me and I cannot even look up. But what does the blood of Jesus do? In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, when Jesus was instituting what we partake of every first day of the week, when Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Why did Jesus in that verse say that he shed his blood? For the remission of your sins. The word remission, the word forgiveness, they come from the same Greek word. And the word means that there is a release. The word means that there is a sending away of something. When we are in sin, we are indebted. We are like David. We are overtaken in our sins. We cannot even look up to God. And the Bible says that Jesus is the wonder of His blood was that He took our sins and He released us from them. He took our sins and He sent them away, forgiving us, remitting them from our account, no longer in debt. How would you like somebody to come along and write off all of your debt? How would you like somebody to come along and pay off your mortgage, pay off your car, pay off every debt that you owe? How would you like somebody to come along and pay off your children's tuition? You know, what debt is there that's hanging over you that you'd love somebody to come along and just say, here's a check, it's paid in full? That's what Jesus did for our sins. Jesus came while we are in debt, up to our eyeballs and more in sin, and He sent them away by His blood. Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we see another part of the wonder of Jesus' blood. You see, when we are in sin, the Bible describes us as being guilty of sin. And you see that in Romans chapter 5. When you begin in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible describes us as being ungodly. We're guilty. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In verse 8 he says, for God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, we were ungodly. We're sinners, we are guilty of sin, and yet He still died for us. But while in sin, while guilty of sin, what does verse 9 say? Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. To those who are guilty of sin, Jesus' blood pronounces justification. Makes us right. Go back two chapters. Go back to chapter 3. You know Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 where the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But keep reading after that verse. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But verse 24 says, being justified. What does the blood of Jesus do for us? We're guilty of sin in verse 23. All of us are guilty of sin. But the blood of Jesus pronounces justification, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, as a satisfaction, as a payment, as a justification by what? In verse 25, His blood. Through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. For those who are guilty in sin, the wonder of Jesus' blood is that He made the payment in order that we might be just in order that we might be right in the eyes of God. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And as you turn there, think about what sin does. Sin keeps us out of a relationship with God. In Isaiah 59, the Bible says that sin separates us from God. But notice how Paul describes this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. When he's talking to the Gentiles, he says that at that time, you were without Christ. What kind of relationship is that? You are without Christ. It is in the most desperate situation of all that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers. When you don't have God, when you don't have Christ, when you're not one of His children, you are without Christ. You are an alien from Him. You are a stranger from the covenant of His promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, that's kind of depressing in verse 12. You can't get any worse off than that in verse 12. But how does your verse start in verse 13? What's the first word you have in verse 13? Here's verse 12. Where you were a stranger, you were an alien, you were without Christ. Not only without Christ, you were without hope, you were without God. You didn't have anything. What's the first word you have in verse 13? But. Here's the contrast. God didn't put a period at the end of verse 12 and stop the book and stop the New Testament and say, that's where you're left off. Verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off, have been brought near by what? What was it that reconciled us to God? What was it that brought us near to God? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Here's where you were in verse 12. Without Christ, without God, without hope, a stranger in the eyes of God. But because of the blood of Jesus, you have been brought near. Because of the blood of Jesus, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 says, because of the blood of Jesus, you have been reconciled in the eyes of God and been given peace. When we sing the song about the wonder working power of the blood of Jesus, think about the wonder of Jesus that provides us with redemption. The wonder of Jesus that provides us with purification. The wonder of Jesus' blood that He gave for us that provides us with remission, that provides us with justification, that provides us with reconciliation. Turning your Bible over to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, this description again is made and this contrast is made between what the priests under the old law were able to do and what Jesus did when He died upon the cross. And in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 11, every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices. Over and over they offer the same sacrifices, but they can't take away sin. But verse 12 says, but this man, Jesus, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, He sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14, for by one offering He has perfected those who are being sanctified. Verse 17 says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. But here's where I want us to see in verse 19. And all that was going on under that old law, and all that was going on under that old covenant, where their offerings were made year after year, but those offerings could never fully take away sin. And the only person who could ever enter into that tabernacle, the only person who could ever enter into that back half of the tabernacle, and when the temple was built, the only person who could enter into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, the only man who could go in there one time a year to offer the blood of that animal for his sins and then the sins of the people, the only one who could go in there one time a year was the high priest. But you read the book of Hebrews. The writer says we've got something better than that. It's not just one person who can enter into the Holy of Holies. It's everybody. And it's not just everybody who can go in there one time a year, but you have entrance in there all the time. Look in verse 19 where it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, the Holy of Holies, to enter into heaven, to enter into the chamber of God, you have that admission. How? How does the end of the verse? By the blood of Jesus. You and I don't have to go through another human being anymore in order to approach our God and to have our sins forgiven. We have admission. We have access. We have boldness to enter into the very presence of God, into heaven itself, because of the blood of Jesus. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful at the wonder of the blood of Jesus for all that He did for us and all that His blood does for us? Two other items on this list of wonders. To those who are worldly, the Bible says that Jesus' blood provides sanctification. If you go over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, it says that's what His blood does. Jesus suffered outside the camp in order that we might be sanctified. What does that mean? Jesus shed His blood so that He could take me from the world and He could set me apart to become His child. He took me from out there in the world living in sin, and He took me and He sanctified, set me apart, made me pure, made me holy, and He put me into service to my King. That happened because Jesus shed His blood. One last passage to look at on this point is over in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. As you begin to get into this passage, you begin to get in to see these people who were persecuted. These individuals that John was writing to who were persecuted for their faith. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan." Here's Satan who was cast out, the one who deceives the world. He was cast to the earth. Verse 10, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren." He's our enemy. He's the one who has gone about seeking to deceive us in verse 12. He's the one who's gone around accusing us in verse 10. Here are these individuals, here are these Christians who were persecuted for their faith. What does he say in verse 11? "They overcame him," the devil. How did they overcome the devil? Was it because of their own power? Was it because of their own goodness? What does verse 11 say was the key that helped them to overcome the devil? "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." What does the blood of Jesus do for us? It gives us redemption. Buys us out of that slavery of sin. What does the blood of Jesus do for us? It gives us purification. It makes us pure and holy and washes away our sins in the sight of God. What does the blood of Jesus do for us? It gives us remission. It takes those sins and it sends them away so that they're no longer on our account. We're no longer in debt to sin. What does the blood of Jesus do for us? It gives us justification in the eyes of God. We're not made right by our own goodness. We're justified by the justifier because He gave His blood for us. What does the blood of Jesus do for us? It gives us reconciliation. It brings us back into a relationship with God, makes us friends with Him again, draws us near to Him, but only because Jesus shed His blood on that cross. What does the blood of Jesus do for us? It gives us admission. We don't have access. We don't have a right into the presence of God except by the blood of Jesus. What does the blood of Jesus do for us? It gives us the opportunity. It gives us the privilege. It provides for us the amazing idea that we can be sanctified in the eyes of God, taken out of the world and set apart for Him. What does the blood of Jesus do for us? It gives us domination over the devil. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Because of the wonder power of the blood of Jesus, we have all of these gifts. We're not going to take nearly as long, but how does that wonder work. That's the wonder of the power of Jesus' blood. Where is the working nature of that blood? Where does that blood work on my behalf? Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, Paul was trying to impress upon these Christians a reminder of where they had come from, and a reminder to them that they had once been living in sin. Remember Romans chapter 5? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He begins Romans chapter 6 talking to them about the fact that they can no longer live in sin. They've got to get out of sin, even as Christians. So he says to them in verse 2, "How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Why do you want to stay in sin? If you've died to sin and your sins have been forgiven, why do you want to live there any longer? But here's what I want to see in verse 3. When does the blood of Jesus work? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? This is the only verse in all of the Bible that uses that phrase, "into His death." Not another verse that uses that phrase. Why do we need to get into His death? Because that's where He shed His blood. And that's where we find all of the wonders of His blood. I need to get into His blood in order that all of those wonders might be mine. How do I get into His blood? I must get into His death where He shed that blood. The only verse in all of the Bible that tells me how to get into His death where He shed His blood is Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 that says, I must be baptized into His death. What happens when I'm baptized? Verse 17 says, what happens when I'm baptized is I follow the form that Jesus followed when He died and was buried and was raised again. Jesus was hung upon that cross. He died and He shed His blood. After He died, He was buried, laid in that tomb, and on the third day He was raised from the dead. Verse 17 says, when I obey from the heart that form of doctrine, I have my sins taken away from me. How do I obey that form of doctrine? I die to sin. Isn't that what verses 1 and 2 say of this book? Those who have died to sin, why would they want to live any longer in it? I died to sin. What did I do when I died to sin? I was buried. I was buried in baptism. I was baptized into His death. And when I was baptized into His death, that's where the wonder-working power of His blood washed away my sins, made me pure and holy and just and redeemed and sanctified, all of those things. And then verse 4, what does verse 4 say? Verse 4 says, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we follow that same pattern. And we too are raised to walk in newness of life. Have you ever been baptized? Let me ask that a different way. Have you ever been baptized into His death? Have you ever been baptized into His blood? Have you ever been baptized into Christ? Have you ever been baptized for the purpose? For the purpose of having His blood wash away your sins. You know, sometimes we might have been baptized, but we could not have answered yes to those questions. It's one thing to be baptized. It's a whole other thing to be baptized in the way that the New Testament teaches, into the death of Christ, wherein the wonder of His blood might become the wonder working power of His blood on my behalf. In Colossians chapter 2, we won't take time to look at it. It's on the screen, I believe. Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says when we are baptized that it is the working of God that saves us. It's not our work. In baptism, it's the working of God who takes the blood of Jesus and washes away our sins. Sometimes individuals look at the Church of Christ and they say, you all put a whole lot of emphasis on baptism. Why do you emphasize baptism so much? I hope we don't emphasize it any more than the New Testament emphasizes it. But the word is used 100 times in the New Testament. And when we come to understand what those 100 verses say about baptism, we come to understand that it is the only avenue by which, it is the only avenue by which I can be redeemed, I can be purified, I can be forgiven, I can be justified, I can be reconciled, I can be given access, I can be sanctified, that I can overcome the devil. Those wonders are only found when I give my life to the Lord and I yield to His command and I allow someone to immerse me and bury me in water and bring me back up. And all of a sudden, immediately, all of the wonders of His blood are mine. I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait until another day, another occasion. Immediately, all of those wonders are mine. Have you ever done that? In a few minutes, we're going to sing a song of encouragement, and I want you to think about, have you ever done that? Are you washed in the blood? There's only one thing that can do that. And that is to be baptized into the name of Christ. But if you are a child of God, if you have been baptized into His death at some point in the past, the Bible teaches us an amazing fact. And that is that the blood of Jesus, as I continue to walk faithfully with Him, His blood continues to wash away my sins all day long. Look in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, if, conditional, we walk in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, does what? Keeps on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Are you a Christian? You know, sometimes Christians have wondered, if I sin after I become a Christian, do I need to be baptized again after I become a Christian and I sin? Do I need to be baptized again so that the blood of Jesus can wash away my sins again? No. Because after I have come in contact with His blood in the waters of baptism the first time, as I continue to walk with Him daily, that same blood keeps on washing away my sins. If you're a Christian this morning, how have you been living? In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, the Bible says, if we sin willfully, after we've come to a knowledge of the truth, after we've become a child of God, we've received a knowledge of the truth and we've responded to that truth, if we sin willfully, if we go back into a life of sin and we give ourselves to doing that which is contrary to the will of God, after I've become a child of God, verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 10 says, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins. And you drop down to verse 29 and it says, one of the things that I am doing is I'm trampling underfoot the Son of God. And I am considering, I am counting the blood that He shed as if it's no big deal. It's just a common thing. Where are you as a Christian this morning? Where are you in your Christian walk? In your Christian walk, are you one who has been walking in the light of the Lord? Or are you one who has strayed outside of that light, outside of the realm in which that blood will wash away your sins? Where are you this morning? Are you a Christian? You ever been baptized? Do you have the wonders of His blood working on your behalf? You only have it. You only have it if you've been baptized into His death. And you only continue to have it if you walk with Him faithfully. Can this church help you this morning? If we can help you in any way, come right now as together we stand and sing.